Luke 2:1-14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors."
All right, if y'all want to go ahead and stand up with us, we'll get the blood circulating a little bit. This first one will be maybe new to you, but as you'll see, the lyrics are pretty easy, so give it a shot and sing along with us.
From heaven to a manger.
All right, this one will be more familiar to y'all. We'd love to have you sing with us. Seated.
Thank you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and he shall be called Emmanuel. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and he shall be called
Emmanuel.
He shall be called
Emmanuel.
He shall be called
This is Luke 2, 15 through 32. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel."
This next song, I'd like to start as a prayer, and I just invite you to pray along with me. The contrast in this song and even in the next song between Jesus glorified and exalted, King above all kings and our God, versus his humble estate when he was born is just shocking. And I think it's supposed to shock us and to cause us to worship this king who sacrificed everything to be born as a baby for us.
Oh Lord Jesus, God incarnate, who assumed this humble form, counsel me and let my wishes to your perfect will conform. Light of life, dispel my darkness, let your frailty strengthen me. Let your meekness give me boldness. Let your burden set me free. Oh, Emmanuel, my Savior, let your death be life for me. Love accomplished, see his gift. This this newborn child. See the mighty, weak and tender. See the word who now is mute. See the sovereign without splendor. See the fullness destitute. Your son into the dark. How could you let go? Didn't you know it would break your heart? You abandoned heaven's stone when you took on flesh and bone. You have claimed my wandering soul when you
love, what have I done? Why do I?
took on flesh and bone. You have made my wandering soul.
Almost want to just sit there for a moment. That was good. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when I say, have you ever seen greatness? So we're going thematically through all of what we're covering during Advent today in song, but we also find ourselves on the third week of Advent for us, where the theme we are celebrating today is the theme of the King has come. He's also coming. Wonder at it. Wonder at it. Sometimes I think that we've cheapened the idea of wonder, and we don't even know what to wonder at anymore. Technology is wonderful, but then some simple things that are actually rather miraculous escape us, things that are actually things of wonder. Back to the idea of greatness. If you played sports, maybe you were in theater or music or the other arts, dance, and you maybe have something of an idea of your abilities, and you may even think that you're pretty good, but then you see something that's really good, and you go, that's greatness right there. That's greatness. Advent, and the idea of wandering, not wandering, wondering, is the idea that Jesus, in the coming, in the incarnation, gave us something absolutely earth-shattering to wonder at. And I just want to bring us back to that in case we've forgotten that this Christmas season. That he has brought us to a place to wonder greatly. And I want to share with you a little bit about what I mean by that. We've been singing some songs that have had a variety of things just sprung through them. And one of those themes is that God, even in Jesus, is a creator. And we get that from John chapter 1, his gospel account. John was one of Jesus' disciples. And he takes a different approach in setting us up for the coming of the Holy One. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are going to share much of what we just sang about. He came in flesh and bone. He came and it was also incredibly humble, the way in which he came. And John just wants to remind us, in addition to that, where he came from. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now that word is used in a lot of ways in the Bible. Sometimes it's just used for words, like we use it. Oftentimes it is used for the words of God, or a shorthand for the words of God. Most of the time, especially in our New Testament, the latter part of our Bible, word is used as a stand-in for the gospel. And so when they talk about dwelling in the word richly, it wasn't actually talking about the Bible. It was talking about the gospel itself, of which the Bible speaks about. But then here, we have a unique way, speaks of the word as Jesus himself encompassing the gospel message. In the beginning was the word, Jesus, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so John brings us back to that, or at least sets us up in that way. But then we go to Matthew, we go to Mark, we go to Luke, and we see this incredible, humble beginning for this child. If it weren't for the fact that his parents were poor, it is at least humble, it is at least absolutely ludicrous that God himself in the flesh would not come and just inhabit the flesh and show up one day walking along the road, but rather chose to incarnate himself in a baby from beginning to end, the fullness of the human experience. Unreal. No other God would even condescend to that. But Jesus did. And so the humbleness with which he came into the world and the meekness with which he carried himself with others. And then as we look to the second advent, we're drawn back to yet another picture of Jesus. In Revelation 19, some of you may be familiar with the white rider passages. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he is a name written that no one knows but himself, and he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were followed him. They followed him on white horses, and from his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with the rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Was a baby. Was flesh and bone, was meek and mild. Those of you who know me, you know that I became a follower of Jesus at age 15. Much of my life before that was mired in a variety of circumstances that are not dissimilar from many of your own. I grew up in a broken home, single-parent household, and estranged for much of my early life from my father. And by the way, I'm not going to tell you everything about how Jesus and the incarnation makes us wonder, but I do want to share with you at least one thing. And that is how he has absolutely changed the way that I think I look at of what man was meant to be. Of what man was truly meant to be in God's image and his likeness. And to specify it even further, to talk about manhood, meaning maleness, being estranged from my father, not a Christian, there was an aspect of Jesus that always appealed to me, and that was his meekness, that was his mildness, that was the one who came as a baby. I would not have been as drawn to the one who makes war, who has the armies of heaven following him, or even who was so powerful that he created the world because I was one with whom power was something that crushes you. And maybe that's your story too. And furthermore, those who have the power to make war tend to cause a lot of problems. But yet, even though I can't reconcile that, eventually, even in common graces of this world, we wander into the truth. God be praised for that. We wander into the truth, And I caught myself at some point, I don't recall the circumstances, but an injustice or an oppression of some sort was happening. And in that moment, wondering, who will stop this? Who's powerful enough to make war against what's happening here? And then you realize, oh, wait a minute. I do love and want power. I do want greatness. Except I want a greatness that encompasses both the great power that's described in Revelation 19 and the great meekness. Friends, Jesus is that power. Jesus came to show us a completely different way. He reconciled at least this one aspect, showed the gospel to me at least one aspect of my life that enlivened my heart. Jesus is utterly unique in showing us the breadth of what we were meant to be. All the nobility that we were meant to be. And we've been singing songs that span the range of who Jesus is and was. And so as we enter this next phase of our time together, I would just encourage you, as we hit the themes of reflect and the themes of respond, that you consider how he is truly presented as the Christ, the one to wonder at. And could you see and desire the second advent with the backdrop of the ludicrousness of the first advent? And you will wonder at Christ today. I'm going to say a word of prayer. I'm going to explain communion, and then we're going to read a passage of Scripture and continue. Let's pray. Father, would you grant us in these moments an opportunity to wonder? Would you slow down our hearts to help us maybe even learn to wonder again? Would you allow us, would you stir within us the wonder that is the span of your meekness, your mildness, your humility, with your power, your greatness, your ability to crush injustice? Would you help us just wonder at that? Even if it's just against the backdrop of how bad we are at spanning that chasm. You did what I cannot do, what none of my friends here can do. You were completely, fully the likeness and image of our Heavenly Father. May we walk in your ways. In Jesus' good and faithful name, amen. During these moments, at the back end of our service, you're welcome to take communion if you're a follower of Jesus. I just want to let you know, if you're new with us, we take communion weekly here. We have a table to my left and to my right near the back. You can just head out whenever you're ready. There's not really just dismiss for that. You go when you're ready. What we do is we take the bread representing the broken body of Jesus, broken on our behalf at the cross. We dip it in the wine or the juice representing the blood that he shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Take that, we eat it, return to our seats. Take that with great faith today and wonder at the one who came as a child, the one who allowed himself to be killed, but yet was also raised and will again come again and show his power against all that is sad and sick and satanic. And we can praise that. Amen.
Isaiah 53, I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sickness and carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We have all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with a rich man at his death, because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and by his hand the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as a spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels.
I believe as the shepherd stays. next song just goes right along with what Rick just got done saying. It has this progression of the day of glory in which Jesus will come, the day of glory in which Jesus came, and the day of glory in which Jesus returns for his people. And the chorus goes, "Let angels shout the triumph as mortals raise their voice. Behold, the Son of heaven and earth, the King of kings is born." So let's just sing that with conviction and with joy, that the story of the gospel is just filled with grace and filled with a God who's decided to take it upon himself to rescue his people. So let's sing that.
Revelation 19, 6 through 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Now Revelation 22:12-21. Behold, I am coming soon. Bring my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexual immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without a price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of his prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things say, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
There is no God.
proclaim your birth. Glory to God and peace beyond the earth. Your name is near, Emmanuel, God with us here, God pleased with us to dwell.
Sing a new song to him and play skillfully into the Lord. And I think we've seen that today. Would y'all just join me in thanking our musicians for everything they've done in putting this together? And secondly, the guys under the stage, so to speak, our sound and AV guys in the back, would y'all give them a round of applause for helping us string all this together? Thank you guys so much. Just a reminder, we are going to have a Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, because it's Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, 6 p.m., we're doing that. And again, back to the worship guys and the sound guys, our AV guys, just a little bit of what they do. They're here at 7:15 every Sunday they serve, and they stay through both services. And that doesn't count all the prep time that they're doing throughout the week and all the time that they're not here. So it's not a small sacrifice, but at the same time, it is a small sacrifice compared to what Jesus has sacrificed for us. So we are doing that as a reflection, a service back to him. I was thinking of the scriptures back in Luke 2. It says, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby that was lying in the manger. And all the way back in Jeremiah 29, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. And even Jesus in the garden, he asked, whom do you seek? And so as you come this morning and we gather here to worship, whom do you seek? And I hope that you've heard the message of the gospel just plain and clear, and that today and going forward, you will seek the Lord with all your heart. Father, thank you for sending us your son to save us. We stand before you humbled that you have chosen to use broken vessels like us to tell of this message, that God came and was born as a child to live a perfect life on our behalf, to die our death on the cross. And as we go today and for the rest of our days, let us remember and live in light of the fact that you did not come because you saw something good in us, but because you saw our hopeless situation and chose to do something about it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us.
Come let us adore him, crown attention. Sing, O ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ.